Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And we are happy to have you joining us again. It is that time of year where it is a new semester, and we are excited, anticipatory, and a lot of other words.
Indeed, we are. And it reminds me right off the bat of a church service that I played that was a back-to-school kind of service, and they brought all the kids up front of the stage and said, "Are you all ready to go back to school?" And everyone goes, "No!"
Like, oh. Well, for in my mind, when you said that, I imagined college kids. I did not imagine what you probably meant, which was like little ones.
But no, they probably had the same timbre of voice.
Oh, probably. Yeah, just no. Well, I am excited to start a new semester. I enjoy new semesters because it's another chance to work with our students and get learning and get moving and just
get into a routine too.
A routine is, that's one of the things I'm most excited about, because the summer can be nice, but it can also be a little chaotic.
Can be. And it can go by really fast too, and you feel like, well, what did I actually get done? Which, if the answer is nothing, sometimes that's what you need too.
When students come back from breaks and I ask them, you know, what did you do, like whether it's, you know, Thanksgiving or winter break or whatever, and they're like, "I really didn't do anything," I go, "Good for you."
Good. Yeah, exactly.
Good for you. Anyway,
enjoy it.
Yeah, we are excited though to start a new semester, and so we thought that today would be a good idea to talk about some beginning of the semester tips that we have from the now many semesters that we have seen and that we have also participated in as students and on the other side. We have some advice and thoughts.
We do. And also just advice, not only for students, but also for other teachers, musicians. And we'll, so we'll try to keep our advice sometimes pointed, sometimes general.
There we
and,
go.
Yeah, so let's just dive right in. I know we didn't necessarily have a list or have a plan, so we can just kind of go back and forth and kind of ping-pong as we do.
Sounds good.
And this is maybe a little bit more fresh on my mind because our brass area did this kind of thing. Actually, just yesterday, we brought all the brass students together and we each talked about a topic. So I'll start with the topic that I talked about, which is just how to be balanced, how to find balance, which is in many ways it's a how to not burn out kind of thing. And a lot of that, I mean, there's a couple things, so I'll try to rattle them off pretty quick. One is, and we could talk more about this or not, is to schedule things. I find that stress comes from not knowing when something is or when something is due or what performances I have or when my next concert is, and that brings a lot of anxiety. So I schedule everything. I schedule even sometimes my leisure activities, because sometimes if you don't, they're not going to happen. And that's another part of finding balance, is having leisure activities. Music is our passion. It's also our job. And that's kind of a dangerous thing, right?
It's not our life.
No, and that's an important distinction, though, is that people make it their lives. And so when that starts to burn you out, where do you turn to?
Do you, do you remember those students? I think at one point, I don't know if you were like this, I think at one point it was my life so much that I felt like I couldn't, almost like I couldn't talk about anything other than music.
Sure.
You know, like I felt like I, not that I didn't have outside hobbies or anything, it was just so all consuming. And I think music has that tendency to be that. But that does shift and change over the years, just to let you know. So if music does feel like all consuming right now, it does change. just well, and I think that and it should, like, it absolutely it should. It does change for a while. So just to let you know, because I think it can get really, it can bog you down sometimes. But it does shift, I promise. And you can make a conscious effort to make it shift. I just remember being like that.
And I think a lot of people, well, as a student, I mean, you are told to be fully invested, and some people, I think, advise over practicing and over consumption. And on one hand, yeah, like, this is the time for you to go all in, but not to the expense of that line, that fragile line of overdoing.
I'm going to make a statement. This is my hot take.
Please that do.
I think that you can be a 90 to 95% invested all in musician, and you would be better off than if you were 100% an invested musician.
Sure.
Because I think that if you were 100% in, like you were saying, then you have not achieved any kind of balance that allows you to be a healthy and sane and mentally, physically, spiritually healthy individual.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Think of it this way. You have you ever played The Sims? I know you do, or did.
You know we the have lots of stories. That question. Very clearly.
So in The Sims, you have all of these meters that you have to watch. There's the food meter, there's the bathroom meter, there's the social meter, and the fun meter, right? Are those the four? Was there another one?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Food, bathroom, fun, hobby. No, that's like those are meters you have to fill, but that's not necessarily living.
Those are like life goal things, achievements.
Oh,
yeah,
hygiene. But...
Hygiene. Oh, that's a good one. Yes, that's an important one. So this is how you should live your life, is thinking about those meters. Like, that there's no music meter, right? but there are food meters. There are sleep meters. The hygiene one, yes, very important also. Like, and if those meters run down to the ground, the sad music plays and your little character wets themselves, and that's not a position that you want to be in yourself, because how are you going to practice like that
with wet pants and you,
or a stink cloud, you don't
or you fall asleep, like, on right. the ground, you just collapse on the ground. This is a horn call article I feel that you should write, is the Sims in horn playing, and like how you monitor your levels. I think,
like,
you just
that.
Wrote your next one.
I think I'm gonna steal the name from it was a Sims modding website. It was called the Seven Deadly Sims. So
I love that.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Next one. I love it. But what James is saying is exactly right. Balance. Please have balance. Please monitor your levels of all things.
Right. Right. Yeah. And also, yeah, have a hobby that's not music. Because if your escape from music is listening to music, that doesn't count. Sorry.
Nope.
Because that also won't allow you to meet and talk to non-musicians, which is something you should do.
Yes.
Talk to people who aren't in music.
Yes.
Not only just because it's interesting, but also they don't really care about music or about you or about how self-important you are or how good you are. There's like, oh, that's cool, I'm tone deaf, and then that conversation ends.
And honestly, those kind of people are often your biggest supporters and cheerleaders,
right?
A lot of times, because they don't know what you do. And if they come to stuff that, you know, that you perform in or listen to you, they're genuinely impressed and
That's
genuinely
true.
Like supportive of you, because they don't have to be there. You know, I actually find that a lot is people who don't do what you do are usually your biggest fans a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
sometimes.
I mean,
anyway,
just like, yeah. Okay. So
that was
what do you think?
Big tangent. But yes, find balance. My tip, quickly, as we're doing this off the cuff, is to do your best, but no more than your best. Like, don't expect yourself to do more than what you're capable of.
Okay.
And so I will unpack that a bit, because your face looked clouded.
Don't do more that you would assume by comparison to someone else.
Yes. I think that I know brass players in particular, I don't know about those woodwinds and strings and vocalists. They all have confidence out the wazoo. I know in myself.
They just push buttons.
Yeah.
You push the violin button and it just plays itself.
I know, right? Like, you just take the bow and hit the instrument and it works. I don't understand it.
I think you slap it on your leg. Isn't that what collegno means?
I actually thought it collegno, yes.
Yeah.
Sul Ponticello means that you actually just put it on a cello and then punt it. It's Ponticello, actually. That's right. What you do. Anyway.
That's the Ponticello suite by Stravinsky.
Exactly, right? we're done. but I mean that I know for myself that sometimes I could get down on myself because I was constantly thinking about how I should be playing, how I should be practicing, how I should be doing all these things. And that's actually a word I've tried to eliminate from my vocabulary with teaching, playing, anything, is what should you be doing? Not completely, because there are things you should be doing.
Right.
You should do your homework. You should practice. Mm-hmm. You should be. But what can you do? Is right. a phrase that I've turned to a lot more. And what can you do that will produce the results that you want? Because at 36 years old, I feel in my mind, should I be playing better? Yes, I should be a better player than I am. Should I be a better teacher? Probably. Should I be a better, you know, whatever? I don't know. But can I be that? I can try. I can do my best to be that. So it's like you said, it's not measuring yourself up to some kind of expectation that you feel like you should have reached. It's, are you doing your best every single day to achieve the goal that you want?
I like that.
And it's, you know, I think about that a lot, because every day is so different and people have things going on in their lives all the time that we don't know about. I think about it especially as a teacher, and now especially as a dad, because I would say that before my daughter came around, I would say when kids came in, not that I'm unsympathetic, but sometimes when I think like kids, like college kids, I think of them as adults, right? Because they are adults. And they say, well, I didn't have time to practice because I had, you know, things happened. And sometimes I would say that I was a little like, well, you should have made time. You should have, you know, less empathetic than I could have been. But then I became a dad. And then I realized, like, wow, this person is also someone's son or daughter. And there are things going on in their lives that I may not know about, just like there are things going on in my life that they may not know about. It just made me a lot more empathetic.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And so when sometimes I should stop saying that because they're not. When our adults come into their lessons and they're doing their best and they maybe not have not reached a level of expectation that themselves set or that I've said or something like that. If they're doing their best, sometimes it's okay.
That's right.
It's just okay because they are trying their best. And that's what I urge everyone to do. That's really general, but I just see too many times people have these expectations and these like, I should be here of themselves. And I'm like, well, are you doing the best that you can do today? Like, only you can answer that question. But if you truly feel in your heart that you are giving it your best effort, there's no way you can complain about it and no way you can get down on yourself or feel or like be derogatory to yourself.
Right. Yeah, I think I was thinking of like two different perspectives there while you were talking about that. One is the student perspective of, especially with social media, saying like, oh, well, this person is playing this or this person said I should do this and why can't I do this or why shouldn't it? It's like, well, that's because they are doing that and you are doing your thing. That's a false comparison, so why are you even doing that? But also from the teacher perspective, I feel like if we put expectations of someone else, if anytime we do that, we're probably going to be disappointed. Now, as teachers, we can see someone's potential, but if we measure them based on what we think they should do, that's a tricky thing. That's a dangerous thing. So like you said, it's more of what can you do? What do you want? Because our job is not to practice for someone, but it's to give them the tools and encouragement for them to reach their potential on their time.
Yeah. So I just want everyone to do their best. That's all I'm going to say. Go into the semester and give everything your best effort that you possibly can give. And if some days that's really high, like you can give a ton, great. If some days that's a little lower due to whatever circumstances, then sometimes then it's okay.
Yeah. As long as the 1%, right?
Yeah.
Like just like, as long as you're making 1% growth every day.
That's right.
You're just moving forward.
A little bit of growth and being happy with the path that you're on will also produce way better mental state to allow for growth, more so than if there's so much high and low, or like you get into negative headspaces, you don't grow nearly as much as you do when you're in a growth mindset of recognizing you're trying your best.
Right. Yeah. It's so much of this is just a mind game. It's a reevaluation of perspective, and as much as we can take a step back and look at the big picture.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're that person that realizes they're not making growth and realizes, well, maybe it is me and I am not doing all that I can, then that's also a good thing to note.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't have to get down on it. You can always change. If you don't like something, change it.
And whether it's, and don't wait too. So like if you're having a bad day, week, year, like that happens. That's okay. So your question is, are you going to say, oh, well, 2026 is going to be a better year? Or is it, oh, okay, September is going to be a better month, or tomorrow is going to be a better day, or this afternoon is going to be better? Like, the smaller chunk you can make it, the faster it is to try to get out of that rut.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's great advice. Okay, so next thing, let's see. Back to school advice. If there's a due date for something, the assignment is not necessarily due at that exact moment. It's just before then. So don't be late. That's my advice. If it's due October 20th by 5 p.m., it doesn't mean you have to sit online and turn it in at 4:59. Because let me tell you, from my perspective, if I see someone that's had an assignment all semester and they turn it in at like 5:05, it's like, what are you doing? Just like do it yesterday.
My arranging students do that a lot. I'm sure on your learning management system, you can see when things are submitted.
Oh, yeah. And I can also prevent them from turning it in late, too, if I so choose.
Oh, yeah. You can close the thing and they can't do it. I don't do that, but I do observe when things are submitted. And a lot of times for arranging assignments, I have them due the night before class most of the time. And I have them due at 11:59. And then after that, it's late, and it's like the university policy of deduction or whatever.
Sure.
But I do take a look at it, and when I see that it's turned in at like 12:04, I'm like, I can imagine the panic that student went through just a few hours ago of, I'm 4 minutes late. Ah, you know, like they're freaking out. But yeah, it's... That's good. I was a procrastinator in school a lot. And
well, look, me too. We all, even as composers now, that's why they say a deadline is a composer's best friend, because it's like, how much time do I have? That's how much time I'm going to take. That's a reality. So it's definitely a say it, do as I say, don't do as I do, I suppose.
Okay. Sorry, tangent from this. Okay, just as a tangent. Have you ever had a thing where... I've encountered as a player, and actually it happens on piano way too much, but on horn too sometimes. Have you ever had a thing where like you've looked at a piece of music or something that you have and you're like, this is dumb. Like, I never want to learn this. I never am going to play this. This is ridiculous. And then it comes up as like, you have to learn to play it by this point. Like, oh no, it's on the next orchestra concert. Oh no, it's like, this is the solo I have to play for this. And then suddenly it becomes doable. Have you ever had that? Like, you look at it again and you're like, I can do this now. Like, it's, that happened with me with piano. That happened with me on a piano recital when I was playing, Beethoven. I think it was Pathetique. And one of my first piano recitals, I remember looking at it and I was like, no, like this is too much. And then I remember the date of the recital came up and I'm like, it becomes, have to do this. Yeah. And then suddenly it like started falling under my fingers. I don't know. Sometimes I think you're right when you say like a deadline is, I don't know, maybe it like switches something mentally to make it possible. Because suddenly things became possible. Anyway, that was just an aside. I've noticed that deadlines make things possible. Composing, definitely.
Right.
Because now, you have a choice.
You're right. Like, someone's paying you to do a thing. It's like, you don't show up for work late or else you get fired. No, that made me think of how sometimes with students, we'll be talking about repertoire. And let's say it's like a junior or something. It's like, oh, well, have you performed the Strauss Nocturnal before? And they go, oh yeah. But you know, it was like back in high school. I'm like, okay, so that doesn't count. So that the answer is no, you have not. Because you're approaching it from an entirely different set of tools now.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That's
a different you. And so in that way, it's that for me, that's what I was thinking of when you're like, something becomes attainable. It's like, you haven't looked at it in a while. And then you're like, oh, I actually can do this now. That's kind of fun.
It is. I think that is fun. And or like you said, when something was too hard and then you look at it when you're a different player and you're like, wow, I can do this so much better.
Yeah.
I remember this not being so tough anymore. And then some things are always hard, but it's.
Well, yeah. Case in point, my recent project. This is another tangent. Surprise. We go on tangents a lot. This summer, I finally went through some of the Etude books that I always thought were kind of garbage, but mostly because other people had told me. And I'm like, I'm just going to finally play through all of the Etudes in this book. And so, for instance, like Maxime Book 6. Ooh. So I played through all of it. And the fun thing was that I was, I think, more successful than I ever have been in playing through most of them. And by the end of it, confirmed, worthless. Like... There's so many other better method books out there for how you want to work on particular things. So I'm never going to open and read those etudes again. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So
there you go. I think that, you know, I go into the Reynolds etudes with that mindset every time. And I always come out the other side thinking, wow, I really don't like these. And I still am bad at all of them.
Least there's a Tempi that he wanted them played at.
That first one is insane. What is it? Quarter goes 120 on that mess? Right. No. All that tone signal, whatever. All right. Okay.
We just insulted all the Reynolds purists out there.
I know one of them.
We're
going
to send all of your hate mail to Drew and James at 555 P.O. Box 7.
Exactly. Well, I know one of those purists, and I don't care what she thinks. She can send all her hate mail to us. Anyway, we love you. You know who you are. Let's see. Another tip for returning to the semester. Gosh, this is so general.
I'll jump in with one real quick. Go to concerts and listen to music.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Especially other things you don't do.
And other instruments.
Definitely other instruments. That's so inspiring.
And if you're preparing excerpts, listen to them first.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm becoming an old and crotchety man, if I wasn't already. But like, what really grinds my gears is people that play excerpts at completely wrong tempi. It's like, you did not even... the requisite 1% of learning on this excerpt. You didn't even open the door. You just bust right in and broke the door.
That's right.
And made a fool of yourself.
That's what's going through your mind. I hope every one of your students hears that and knows, like, if they come in and they play like anything like completely out of time, that you're thinking, you have busted the door open and destroyed and obliterated. Just like all of yes. those thoughts. That marquee is going in your mind. I have a good one. Warm up before your lessons, please.
Please. We know if you don't.
Please do that. What do you do if they don't? I make them warm up and then come back 10 minutes later.
I've done that before. Yeah, you just take some time and I go and get a drink of water, do a couple laps around the building, or just play crossword puzzles out in the hallway or something like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll listen to how they warm up, but typically more younger it's a discussion definitely. Of like, okay, well, come prepared next time.
Yeah.
And if this isn't going to work, then we need to figure something out.
Yeah. Younger students especially. We'd probably make it a let's listen to a little bit of what you're going to do. But anyway, that's a good one. Let's see. Beginning of the semester things. I have a studio meeting and I have like a PowerPoint that I show them. I wonder if there's make sure you bring all your necessary materials, please.
Yep.
And then going along with the like doing your best thing. I think that sometimes students walk in and think that things have to be, or we're expecting perfection, but perfection doesn't exist and we don't expect that at all. If you can just show, and this goes into like how you practice, make sure you're just showing ample growth and improvement. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to hear, because we're going to work on what we want to anyway with you. But as long as you come in, one of the things that you're talking about, things that annoy you, one of the things that annoys me is when a student comes in and I'm like, okay, let's get out this etude or like, let's work on this skill that you were supposed to have now had 7 days to practice on. And they go, oh, I didn't get to that. I'm like, you've had 7 days.
What were you doing?
What were you doing? Right. I was just sitting there playing my solo pieces. Not what I told you. Like, right. Not what will help you. Like, that will help you in some ways, but not in the ways we want to keep progressing. So show ample improvement on everything that we're assigning you, because, well, we do it for a reason. I promise. We may be nuts, but I promise we do stuff for a reason.
I feel like there, with the oversaturation of information online, with even now like music quote-unquote influencers, there is a bit of an erosion of trust and a lack of focus. So that I guess the advice here is trust your professors if they've given you a reason to trust them, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't blindly follow things. But if you're at a school with, I mean, like you said, we do things for a reason. We actually spend a lot of time thinking about the structure of exactly what we're doing or the exercises we made. It's not just haphazard. Like, and again, we're not practicing. We're not getting better. This is all, everything we do is so that you, the student, will get better.
Yeah.
So think of it more like a balanced meal. Like, if all you do is eat carrots, you're not going to feel very good. If all you do is eat steak, you're really maybe not going to really feel good.
Orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's a reason why there's a variety of things and a particular thing. And like you said, also, you have to trust us in that if there's something we're listening for, we may not tell you exactly what that is because we don't want to prejudice how you play something. So it's like, oh, well, that wasn't good. No, it's exactly what I wanted to hear. You're on the right track. Keep going.
I have had that. Oh, gosh. I had a moment with a student like that last semester. She was playing, I think she was playing like, Boza. Yeah, she's playing Sir Lassine. And we were working on that rhythm. That Boza rhythm. Actually, it's Wagner rhythm. I don't know why people do that so wrong. It is so baffling to me. I'm like, even if you like have trouble counting it, I'm like, just listen to me.
Indiana Jones.
It
could
be even monkey see, monkey do. That's all it is. Or monkey hear, monkey do. Right? Like, yeah, okay, so anyway, but we were working on that rhythm because she was just having some problems placing it, and so...
Or Superman, sorry. I can't believe I...
You did say Indiana Jones.
The rhythm.
I actually heard Indiana Jones with that for a minute. Anyway,
I know, right?
That, like, I could, like, I imagined, I was like, I could hear the Ostinato in Indiana Jones being.
Anyway,
like,
sorry. Okay, I had to correct that gross mistake.
Oh, JW, he's so upset. So yeah, we were working on that rhythm, and in the lesson, she stopped at one point, and she was like, "Oh, my notes and my fingers are just not clean," and I'm like, "Doesn't matter. Right now, we're still working on the rhythm." Yep. But shouldn't I get all the notes and fingerings and everything else clean? Well, eventually, yes, but right now that's not the goal.
Yep.
Right now the rhythm is the goal. And then we'll get the other stuff, you know, right. going and that kind of thing. Or when I have a discussion with a student, I don't know if you've done this. Sometimes you're right, the goal that we're listening for supersedes sometimes the technical part of it that we need, like especially the musical right. goal. And a lot of times I've made my students kind of go musically to a place where sometimes in the beginning of learning something gets a little sloppy, like technique is a little sloppy, or maybe accuracy isn't perfect, but it's because I need them to understand the musical phrase that they're trying to create as they're learning it. And so right. like you said, it's sometimes our goals that we're listening for, our ears are listening for something different. So just trust that we are doing our best to make you better. And even if we'll eventually share everything, you know, what we're listening for with you. But just trust that we're your biggest cheerleaders as well. Right. And we do have a purpose in what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's great advice. And I think actually with that, we'll probably kind of wrap up this little session just so it doesn't go too long.
Yeah.
Because my next topic was going to be how to have brevity in what you do. And so, no, I'm just kidding. we failed that one.
Yeah.
Oops. No, what I was going to say is the other topics we talked about really quick were like how to do professional communication, like emails, not just going like, hey, and then, you know, not even putting your name on it. Or... Yeah, stuff like that. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode, unless you have any other last things you want to add.
Nope, just have a good semester. Do your best. Have fun. Please enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, please reinvestigate why you got into music in the first place, because you do enjoy it. You just have to find something that you just have to go back and find that reason. Everyone can do that. It's just sometimes it gets hard, but make sure enjoyment is always a factor.
That's right. Yep.
Yes.
Great advice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Complete Musician Podcast. As always, we thank you for listening. And I'm just going to tease the Quarmodo Horn Duo has an event, a scheduled event coming up on September 15th. We're giving a recital at UGA. It's going to be 7:30 p.m. and it will be live streamed. So
hooray.
Please tune in.
It will be a wild time in that there will be many surprises. And
many surprises.
Here's another fun teaser. Horn and piano will not be the only instruments played.
Correct. And so, that's all we'll say. So you
just
have to tune in.
That's all we're going to say. You just have to, yeah, that's, and I mean, we're not being, yeah. That's all we're going to say. Those aren't the only instruments. Yep.
Otherwise, if you have any questions or comments or things you want us to talk about, you can reach us at quarmodohorn@gmail.com or any of our social media channels. If you're listening to this podcast, you know us well enough to know where to find those. So, just hit us up and, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you again soon.